Well, praise the Lord. God is good. We're going to get started. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these, your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unrestricted or hindered by demonic forces or any evil spirits that would try to stop, block, or hinder this word from going forth. I thank you, Father. Amen and amen and amen. We are going to conclude this teaching that we've been doing on Victories in Your Mouth. This is part three. This will be the last teaching of this particular volume. I know at some point in time we'll come back and discuss it more, as always. Alrighty, so speak the word only. Oh, praise God. I gotta get my screen up here. Hopefully you have been blessed with this teaching. So in this particular lesson of part three, we're going to talk about releasing God's authority and bringing victory into every area of your life by speaking the word only. So just like we talked about on Sunday, Jesus dealt with the enemy by speaking the word of God to the enemy, and that's how he defeated the enemy, and we're to do the same thing. So here in part three is speaking the word only. Let's take a look at section one. We talked about this on Sunday, but I want to continue to talk about it. And let's start with Romans 4:17, where we were talking or discussing God's MO, which is God's mode of operation. So in Romans 4:17, it says, God's mode of operation is God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That makes sense? So the scripture is very clear about that. And so we want to be in agreement with the word of God and the way God does things. Very important that we operate in the way God operates if we want to see success in our lives. Alrighty? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he speaks from the spirit realm, or he speaks from his spirit. God operates in the spiritual dimension, and the spirit is what the natural, the spirit realm is what holds the natural realm in order. So everything that's going on in the natural is a product of what's happening behind the scenes in the spirit. A lot of Christians don't understand that. You have to grow to that place, and we're at a place where we've grown and matured to where God wants us to understand these spiritual laws that govern his kingdom. So he speaks from the spirit realm, and when he speaks, what he speaks becomes a reality. God does not speak based on what he sees. Or actually, he sees it. He doesn't speak based on what we see. He speaks based on what he has already established in his spirit. So God already knows the future. He already knows the future outcome. He knows he's planned out our tomorrows. Okay? And so when we understand that, everything will be fine when we learn to trust that God has already planned out our tomorrows. I want to talk about this real quick because this was important. I talked about predestination. God allows us to make choices. And so he knows the choices we're going to make, but he still backs up and lets us make those choices. And I don't understand all the ins and outs, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. I just know he sees and knows everything. Alrighty? But predestination, I explained, is like catching a bus. I talked about how when I was growing up in Cincinnati, there was three buses that came up Reading Road that I had to at least catch from downtown on the square if I wanted to get home. And if I missed that last bus, I was in a world of trouble. I would have to walk all the way from downtown because I probably didn't have no cab money and nobody was going to come pick me up. So I knew that the bus was going to come at the square and come up Reading Road to get me home. So there was three buses. It was the 45, the 43, and the 47. So if I missed one of those buses, well, I had to walk. what I talked about on Sunday is predestination is like a bus route. So the bus is scheduled to be at certain stops and points that has already been pre-routed. So those, that metro driver has a pre-route. They drive a route. And on the schedule, there's a schedule, and you have points where they stop within a certain time frame. So it is predestined. It's already a predestination, our predestined route. Well, God has already blessed our lives, our predestined us to do certain things in our life. He's planned it out. But what happens is a lot of times people miss that window of opportunity. There's times and seasons in our lives that He's ordained certain things. And I have to use my life. I made some mistakes in the past. I left the ministry for various reasons. But now I'm back. Well, you know, fellowshipping with God, I know that I should be a lot farther along in my life, in certain areas, but I'm not farther along because I miss key times and seasons of my life that He had already prepared and pre-planned out. But when you come back to the Lord, He knows how to catch things up for you. Does that make sense? You know, it's almost like the same as a GPS. If you go or make a wrong turn, it starts saying recalculating, so that it can get you back on track and to get you to your destiny or basically where you were trying to get. So I just want to mention that real quick. Hopefully that helps you understand predestination. That's predestination made simple. That means that doesn't guarantee that you're going to reach the destination. It's based on you lining up with God's plan for your life and accepting it. All righty? So we serve a God that speaks things about us that are not visible in the natural. So God will tell you what He has planned for your life, but you cannot see how it's going to come to pass. Well, that's where you have to trust Him and learn to fellowship with Him so that you can stay on the predestined path that He's already ordained. You know, and I talk about this facility here. I didn't know, you know, Brother Paul from Adam. All I know is I was driving down the street one day and I said, Lord, if you really called me to restart the church, I would like a building like this one. You know, we started in Cincinnati. I just made a statement. Next thing I know, they made things change where they decided they didn't want us there. They had a new, whether you call them, board of directors that made some changes. And so I didn't know where God wanted us to go. And I asked a person, do they know of a facility? You know, we had just started a church. We had a few members. And they gave me a number to a man named Paul. And I looked at the address. You know, I called the number. And he said, oh, yeah, come meet me. And he told me the address. And I drive up. And it's the same building. And I told God, if you want me to start the ministry, I want a building like this one. I wasn't coveting the building. I just made a statement. So I say that to say I didn't know God's plan. I just made a statement. But it was kind of like a fleece. And so I don't know how He did it, but we're in the very facility. So I know God has called us to do this, you know, and He'll do the same thing with you when you ask Him questions from your heart. So God's MO is He tells us things that He has planned for us, and we don't actually see how it's going to happen. So He brings it to pass in our lives when we agree with it. When we agree with God's plan for our life, He begins to cause things to go into motion so it become a reality. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're talking about God's MO. So in Romans, continue with Romans 4, 7 through 17 through 22, it says, as it is written. Now, he's talking to Abraham here. He says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Notice he says, I have. That's past tense, meaning I've already planned this out for your life. Mm-hmm. Okay? So in the presence of him, meaning in the presence of God, whom he believed, meaning Abraham believed God in the presence of God. And I talk about how it's important to believe God in your heart. Other people may not believe it. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you believe it? Is that making sense to you? Because God's plan won't come to pass if you don't believe it. Alrighty. So again, he says that in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, who calls things that do not exist as though they did. So Who caused things that do not exist as though they did? God does. We don't do that. That's not what we're doing. So when we talk about speaking the word only and keeping our mouth in line with what the word of God says and what God has told us, that's God. And so we have to say that it's already done. Why? Because God prepares the end before the beginning. He's just letting us know what his plan is. And so we just stay on track and we continue to believe it. Is that making sense to you? All righty. So again, he says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, look what it says, who, meaning Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. So shall your descendants be. So he believed what God was telling him. And he said, and not being weak in faith. So Abraham wasn't weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead. So when you start considering the opposite of what's going on in your life, in contrast or in comparison to what the word of God says, that's normal. That's normal. That's part of God's MO. He's telling you something that does not exist. He's telling you it does exist, or he's going to make it exist, or that's what's going to become a reality in your life if you believe. Does that make some sense? So you have to keep your mouth in line with what the word of God says you have and you are in Christ Jesus. This is a very simple thing. The thing is disciplining your flesh, your emotions, to stay in line with what the word says. Okay? So again, in 20 it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. 21 says, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's it. We just need to be convinced that convinced and persuaded that what God has said, he's able to perform. Okay? The word of God says that by his stripes you were healed. But I don't feel healed. That's not what he said. You're not going to feel it. You just got to believe it. If you believe it, eventually it's going to manifest. That's God's job to make it happen. You just have to keep your mouth in line with it. If God says that I have provided all your needs by Christ Jesus, he means that. All means all. Where are they going to come from? I have no idea where it's going to come from. But if you stay and keep your mouth in line with what the word says you have in Jesus, amen, it's going to show up in your life some kind of way. I don't know how. That's not my job. See, people looking for some prophet or some preacher to give them the how to. That's not how God operates. That's not faith. That's witchcraft. That's you know, trying to look for somebody to, you know, look into a crystal ball. That's not what this thing works like. That's not what this thing works. That's not the way this works. It's not a crystal ball faith. It's just trusting God's word. All right? Praise God. Continuing on with this is actually still section one, God's MO. So again, I want to give these 3 points here. It says, it is God who calls those things that do not exist in the natural as though they did. It is God. I'm emphasizing this because this is how people learn. Tell them what the word of God says and tell them to believe what the word of God says. All the questions is irrelevant. What does the scripture say? This is God's mode of operation. Why? I don't know. He's God. He decided to operate this way. Our job is to accept it. Does that make sense? We are not speaking things into existence. This is important. We are not speaking things into existence. God is bringing them into existence. We're keeping our mouth in line with what God's word says. That's what it means to hold fast to the confession of your faith, meaning hold fast to what you believe God has said about you in that word. That's all. So we're not speaking nothing into existence. That's an erroneous teaching. All right, let's move on. We're not speaking things into existence on our own. We are speaking and agreeing with what God's word already says we have. And remember, I'm about teaching you about what you have in Jesus. So what Jesus has already done for you, that's what you're supposed to believe. People say, God, Brother Larry, Pastor Larry, what is the will of God? What Jesus has done for you is the will of God for you. If you don't know what Jesus has done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection, and you don't know the benefits of your salvation, well, you're being cheated. You're going somewhere that's not teaching you, and it is what it is. So confession, again, as I said, means saying the same thing. It means saying what the word says about you, even though you don't feel it or see it. That's what confession mean? Alrighty? Second thing is Abraham did not consider his own natural conditions or Sarah's natural condition. He was impotent and she was barren. And they were old. I mean, they had all kind of strikes against them. They're old. They're past the age of childbearing in the natural. Well, you know, that's no big deal, you know, for God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, never slept with a man. And, you know, that's where our Savior came from. So, you know, how he does it? I don't know how God heals people. I don't know how he does. I just believe he do. You see what I'm saying? I don't know how he does it. There's things that he's done in my life. I don't know how he did it. He just did it. Praise the Lord. And we're going to get in trouble trying to figure out how many demons stand on the pen tack. Or the top of a tack of a pen. The point of attack. You know what I'm saying? The point. I don't know. And I really don't care. Huh? Just look. Remember I told you a lot of people get into stupid stuff. Watering down the simplicity of the gospel. What does that mean? To water down the simplicity of the gospel is to dilute it. You dilute a solution by adding too much to it. I'm supposed to get to that scripture today. We must learn to think, not to think beyond what is written. What's written? The scriptures right here. And I'm bold about this because, you know, it's the truth. Third thing, again, through that is they gave God glory by saying what he had told them to say and believing what he said, meaning they changed their name like he told them to. They began to call themselves who God had called them. And that's what we have to do. We have to call ourselves what the scripture says we are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not looking into the mirror of the word of God, you will never see who you are in Jesus Christ. If you don't look into this mirror of the word to see who you are and what you have in Jesus, you're not going to see it and you're not going to believe it. And so people do a real good job distracting folks from seeing what the Bible is really saying about them. Alrighty. Section 1 still, God's M.O. In Psalms 107:2, it says, let the redeemed what? I didn't say that. The word says that. So if you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, your job is to say so. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony of what the blood has done for us. Amen. Our job is to believe it. All right. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed by the hand from the hand of the enemy. Who's the enemy? Not people. We fight not with people. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. It is in spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's the scriptures. Don't listen to those smart, educated theologians. The scriptures is the truth. Their opinions means nothing if it's not scriptural based. All righty. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say I'm strong. So it says, let the weak. That means they are weak. He says, say I'm strong. So if you're feeling weak, I'm strong. In the name of Jesus, I'm strong today. When I'm at work, you know, they call it the wellness center. And so we always tell them, how you doing? Oh, I'm well. I'm doing well today. I'll joke. Me and the sisters, we have a really good time. And so we'll talk and they'll say, oh, how you doing, Larry? I said, oh, I'm doing great. Oh man, I'm wonderful. She looks, she says, are you sure? I said, if I wasn't, I wouldn't tell you. She just laughs. She's like, I ain't gonna tell you I'm doing bad. I'm doing good. Huh? Why? Because let the weak say I'm strong. They was talking about, you know, oh, you know, be careful, you're going to get sick. You know, I say, I don't get sick. Why? I keep my mouth in line with my covenant rights that I have in Christ Jesus. And I don't get sick. I ain't had that. No, I don't catch that. Well, you know, no, you don't believe the word of God is what it is. So anyway. Now, saying that you are strong when you are weak, this may seem strange to the natural mind, but this is how God operates. He tells you to say what he has said, not what we feel. Well, I'm lying. No, I'm agreeing with God. You gonna call God a liar? He's the truth. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 28. It shows us that God uses the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. God brings to nothing the things that are, according to his word. I got my hammer today, so I'm going to go ahead and read this real quick. I just want to read this into your hearing so you can see what the word of God says on this. 1 Corinthians 1. I ain't going to put them on the board today. People got to have their Bibles. You get lazy when I put everything on the, up there. You do. Put your eyes on scriptures, man. Put your eyes on what the scriptures say. Praise the Lord for yourself so that the Holy Spirit can talk to you. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:27. It reads, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty." This is God's MO. Did you see this? This is God's mode of operation. He does this. You know what? I'm going to put it up there for the viewers, because I know there's people looking, and I want you guys to see it, because you may not have your Bibles. But this is very, 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 very important that you see this. And I got to get to, what time is it? All right, I'm doing good on my time. We're going to get to the last part of this teaching. But this is important that we understand and see what the word says. See? I know good entertaining preaching makes you feel good, but instructional teaching is what helps you be good. You understand? I like some good inspirational teaching, but some good instructional teaching is what teaches me how to apply the word and get results. And that's what people don't know how to do, is get the results of the word, because they, you have to have a diet to be taught the scriptures. All right, so where are we going to? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 27, and I'll put that on the board for you. Praise the Lord. So in verse 27, which starts right there, I'm going to highlight it in green for you. So it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty." God does this. Look what he says, "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen." So if you feel despised, most likely you're chosen. See what I'm saying? "And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." You see that? Why does he do that? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." So that's why he does that. He calls those things that are not as though they are. He does that. And that's what brings him glory. Praise God. Amen. This is God's mode of operation. And when you understand God's mode of operation, it begins to be easy to cooperate with him. If you don't know how he operates, you're going to struggle. So this is normal for God to call those things that do not exist as though they did. Alrighty. Let's continue on. In 1 Corinthians 57, it says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory has already been given. Through who? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So victory is given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. So now, victory is in our mouth when Jesus is in our mouth. Victory is in our mouth when Jesus is in our mouth. What do I mean by Jesus? What Jesus has done for us. When we declare him, who he is and what we have, that's Jesus on our mouth. Speaking Jesus to our mountains. Speaking the grace of Jesus to our mountains. Those oppositions. Mountains are spiritual oppositions that's opposing God's plan and will for your life. Alrighty? That's what those are. Now, let's get into Still section one. I don't know why I put section two there. Oh, yeah, that is. Sorry about that. Let's get into section two. Section two, speak the word only. Now, let's get into the heart of what I want to talk about tonight. Look what it says in Matthew 8, 5 through 11. In Matthew 8, 5 through 11, it says, "Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord,'" look what he says, "'I am not worthy that you should come under my roof.'" He goes on to say, and I got it highlighted there, "But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed." What did he say? Only speak a word. So speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Verse 9 says, "For I am a man," now look what he says here, "under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." So now, what I want us to understand as we continue with this is authority flows and is passed down through words. Authority flows and is passed down through words from someone that has greater authority than you. We operate in this every single day. Now, a lot of people grumble and complain. What's that? Everyone has an authority over them. We go to work. If you don't work, a man shouldn't eat. You got a man that don't want to work, then you need a new man. No, you get him saved or something. You know. First of all, he shouldn't be your man. He should be your husband. Well, anyway, we ain't going to get into that discussion. Make some shack-ups mad when you talk that way. You make them shack-ups mad. You see, if you go into a church where you're comfortable in sin, that ain't a good place. And, I ain't going to make you comfortable in your sin, because ain't no blood going to be on my hand. Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. He's a good God. Everyone has an authority over them. When you go to work, you have a boss. Your boss got a boss. Well, I own my own company. Well, you still got a boss. The IRS, your boss. You got laws and regulations that you got to function in through whatever business that you own. You got a boss. I had rules and regulations when I had my business. I couldn't just do anything. So there was my boss. So you got to submit up under authority. That's a part of life. Amen. And so what a lot of Christians don't do is they got a problem. I'm talking about good-hearted Christians. Submitting under authority is a way of life. And a lot of Christians don't recognize spiritual authority. Anyway, let me move on. So the centurion understood and recognized that Jesus operated under divine authority. Because I'm going to talk about this today, is that the reason why people, when you're not speaking the word of God, you're actually in rebellion to your authority head, Christ Jesus. He told you. That your words will justify you. Or your words will condemn you. Well, yeah, no, no, no. See? You see what I'm saying? That's the way, you know, you gotta rebel. my spiritual father who taught me about authority, he would always tell me, Brother Larry, yeah, Brother Barry, there you go. They just rebellious, Brother Larry. You got rebellion running around. Spirit of rebellion. You gotta deal with your rebellion. I got a problem submitting. Well, see, your problem is you got a problem submitting to your Lord, the Lord of your life, Jesus Christ. Okay. I ain't supposed to talk about that. The centurion understood and recognized that I believe in this with every fiber of my being, because that's what this is what my spiritual father taught me. He's home with the Lord, but he taught me to be an authority, you got to come up under authority, Brother Larry. He always taught me that. So he says, when you go somewhere, go look for the authority. When you go to a church, go look for the head. Who's the head? Who's an authority? And he said, there ain't no two heads. A two head is a monster. Anyway, that's what he taught me. To be an authority, you got to be in authority. I mean, to be in authority, you got to be up under authority. So the centurion understood and recognized that Jesus operated under divine authority the same way he operated in military authority. Right? By speaking commands that must be obeyed. So when you're in the military, you have authority over you. All righty. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I ask people, who are your pastor? Well, I got two pastors. No, you can't have two pastors. That's out of order. They ain't submitted to nobody. And their life is jacked up. And want me to pray for them. I can't pray for you. You need to go ask who your pastor. Your problem is you don't have a pastor. You don't want to submit up under no spiritual authority. So there, your life is jacked up. Not my problem. What kind of pastor are you? One that ain't going to play no games with you. I'm going to teach you right, man. I told this individual, I love you, but you got to fight. You got to go ask God who your pastor is. And learn and grow and just doing anything you want to do. All righty, in the same way, when we declare what is written, that's why nothing's working in your life. It's not going to work if you don't come, you don't recognize how this works. All righty, in the same way, when we declare what is written, we are declaring God's authority. This is important. Given to Jesus in our situation. All right, let me go back up here because I forgot this part. So the centurion understood authority by speaking commands that must be obeyed. When he said, speak the word only, he revealed the true faith believers of the word carries the full weight of God's authority. So when we come up under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we now can operate in that delegated authority. I did a teaching about recognizing the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. And a lot of people, Jesus is not the Lord of their life. Jesus don't practice sin. He came to set you free from it. So you're just a church attender when you go. So in the same way, when we declare what is written, we are declaring God's authority given to Jesus in our situation. The centurion understood and recognized that Jesus operated under divine authority the same way he operated under military authority, by speaking commands that must be obeyed. When he said, speak the word only, he revealed the truth of faith. I got that said again. I'm saying this again, right? Mm-hmm. So again, in the same way, when he declared what is written, we are declaring God's authority given to Jesus in our situation. All righty. So I said that enough now, so you should understand what I'm saying here. All righty. So now in Matthew 28:18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. That's what he said. In Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to who? Jesus. All authority has been given to who? Jesus. All authority has been given to who? Jesus. So I ain't got no authority outside of Jesus. And so you got a lot of men that want you to submit up under them. No, I want you to come up under Jesus. Because if you submit under Jesus, who is the head of your life, he'll tell you what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. I don't preach a message, this manipulative, arm-twisting message to make you come up under me. That's why I tell people, you need to ask God who your pastor is. I learned that the hard way. I just don't, because, people just preach, trying to preach you in the seats and condemn you. I ain't trying to hear that. God told me who to listen to. God told me who to come up under. This I belong to him, and this is his ministry. He told us to come up under the general. Amen. That's true. Don't like it? Tough. Ain't my problem. When you go to the military, you can't choose your general. You can't choose your sergeant. You can't choose. And they assign you where you're going. I understand sometimes they give you a little bit of choice, but whoever's in charge, they the one in charge. Ain't nothing you can do about that thing. I got a job right now. I ain't the boss. The boss was there before I got there. Oh, what's wrong with people? Ephesians 1:20-23 says, which he worked in Christ Jesus. Talking about Jesus. Which he worked in Christ Jesus. What am I time looking at? Alrighty. Ephesians 1:20-23 reads, it says, which, meaning God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What I'm trying to get you to see is our authority that is through Jesus' authority. Our authority is through Jesus' authority. So it says, God worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, what's that? Where? Under his feet. He put all things under his feet. God did this. God has put all things under his feet. Man, where am I at? Oh, and gave him to be head over all to the church. So he's the head over all to or through the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. So the church is his body. Now he has many members and many different local assemblies that have various assignments that function to fulfill his divine purpose. You know, when you mature, you come to understand this. So every church is uniquely designed by the Heavenly Father. And God is in control of them, hopefully. The ones he ain't in control over, well, they're synagogues of Satan. They're just out there doing their own thing. Ephesians, continuing on Ephesians 1:20-23, it says, which he produced in Christ Jesus. Now, would you say? That's the Amplified. And he's talking about, let me put this up here so that you can see what it's saying. Let me go to the Amplified, because I don't want to lose you in this here. This is important. So I'm trying to point out something here that to give us some light into the authority that we're to speak as the church. So our authority is through Christ Jesus. And when we speak the word, we're speaking the authority of Jesus in the earth. I have a teaching called Throne Dominion. See, we were seated with him, right? And we're his body. So when we speak, we're speaking his dominion in the earth through his seated position next to God. So the church operates through the throne dominion of Jesus Christ. Praise God. All right, we're going. Ephesians 1:20. 23. So you would have to, well, I don't have time to get into all that. You got to start reading the scriptures. I'm trying to. So it's talking about the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus and our position in Christ. I am just going to put the Amplified up there. And we're going to just read it all the way down through 23. How about that? Let's do a little bit of reading today. Alrighty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get that up there. Alrighty. So let's go to verse 1 and start reading from verse 1. It says, and Paul, an apostle, special messenger, personal chosen representative of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, by the will of God, that is, by the purpose and choice to the saints, who is God's people, who are at Ephesus and are fulfilling the loyal and, I like that, who are faithful and loyal and steadfast in who?
Christ Jesus.
A lot of people are not loyal, steadfast, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Anyway, grace to you and peace, inner calm and spiritual well-being from God, our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless and worthy of praise be God, the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You see that? So he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's a past tense. It's a done thing. It's a done did gospel. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, our heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Where? In Christ. Just as his love has chosen us in Christ. See that? Actually selected us for himself as his own. You were selected as my own. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy? That is, consecrated, set aside for his purpose, driven, and blameless in his sight. You see that? Blameless in his sight. In love. He predestinated and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children. Through who? Through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his kind intention and good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. Who's the beloved? His son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. Where? In Jesus, that is, our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sins as a result. That don't mean we keep sinning. And forgiveness and completely pardon our sins. Glory to God. You have been pardoned by King Jesus. God has pardoned you because of the blood. The governor's pardon in all wisdom and understanding with what? Practical insight and made known. Now look at this. Made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in Christ with regards to the fullness of times, that is, the end of history, the climax of the age, to bring all things together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth, meaning God is bringing everything back to himself. He's repurchasing the earth and all the occupants of the earth back into himself because of what Adam did. Alrighty, where I leave off here. Alrighty, verse 11. In him also we have received an inheritance, a destiny. We are claimed by God as his own, having been predestined. I talk about predestined, chosen and appointed before time. That don't mean you're going to get it if you don't show up at the bus stop on time and be where you're supposed to be. Some folks is in the wrong location. According to the purpose of him who works all things in agreement with the counsel and design of his will, glory to God, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ, who first put our confidence in him as our Lord and Savior, who exists to the praise of his glory. 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, glory to God. So you put your faith in Jesus. See, they put their faith in Jesus first, and now we're reading what they believe, and now we're believing it. Okay, where I'm at. Who believed him who was in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, about Jesus, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believing in him, you were stamped with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. You are owned and protected by God. Glory to God. That's some good stuff. Woo! 14, the Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, the foretaste. Glory to God. You done put the down payment on that house. Oh, glory to God. That's the earnest money. God's serious about you, man. You're his temple. Glory to God, where he dwells. And he done put the down payment on you through the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. By the way, this is what you call preaching the word. Chapter and verse. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, the foretaste. Of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession, his believers, and the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith. This is Paul talking to them in Ephesus. For this reason. Now he's talking about it. This is why I'm writing this. Because I have heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the people. Look what he says here. Now he's getting ready to pray. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What is he praying? I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do what? Grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives you a deep and personal, intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. True knowledge of him. For we know the Father through the Son. How do we know the Father? we know the Father through the Son. So if they're not preaching Jesus to you, you're never going to see the Father. You're never going to understand Jesus. Understand the Father. You'll never understand God until you understand Jesus. Who you are and what you have in Jesus. You won't understand your inheritance because Jesus is the inheritance from the Father through the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. What his blood has purchased. Where am I? Where am I? I get happy when I read stuff like this here. See? All right. So he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart and every core of your being may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit so that you will know and cherish. You will know and cherish the hope. What's that? The divine guarantee. The confident expectation to which he has called you. The rich and glorious inheritance that is in the saints. There's a rich and glorious inheritance that is in you, the saints. God's people. God's people. And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unmerited and unsurpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. His active power, this is good. Immeasurable power, unlimited power. What a power at? In you. How come it ain't working? Because you don't know who you are and no one's teaching you. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength. Now we're getting to where I want to get into, verse 20, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Look at it, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So this is his power that we have access to when we abide in Christ. Look what he says here. Which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Look at this. Far, far, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether, look at this, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. He's talking about this one now. Glory to God. And he put all things in every realm into subjection under the feet or under Christ's feet and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things. Where? In the church, which is the fullness of his body and fills the complete. So, he is the fullness. We are the fullness of his body. Glory to God. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Alrighty, since we're reading, let's look at Ephesians here. Man. Let's continue that. I want to go to. So that was good stuff right there. You like that?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Now, I got up to Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. New King James. What time is it? All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, been here 40 minutes. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12 reads, to me, this is Paul talking out, to me who I'm going to read this in the Amplified, dagnabbit. This is just doggone it. This is just too good. This is too good. Oh man! This is just too good. Where are we going to? I gotta calm down. Well, I was just gonna go to. Where are we going to? 3:8. All right, let's start at verse 8 at chapter 3, which starts right about there. It says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's people. This is Paul, because, you know, he was killing people. Religion kills folks until they get knocked off their high horse of religion. So to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's people, this grace, which is undeserved, was graciously given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the incomprehensible riches of Christ, the spiritual wealth which no one can fully understand. And to make plain to everyone the plan and mystery regarding the uniting of believers, believing Jews and Gentiles. So we're all one family, mm-hmm, in one body. So there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male. We're one in one body, but we still have different genders, and we're still, you know, don't get goofy now on this, which until now was kept hidden through the age, through the ages, in the mind of God. So God had it hid in his mind. God who created all things. So now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God in all its countless aspects, look what it says, might now be made known, revealing the mystery to who? To the angelic rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is in accordance with the terms of eternal purpose which he carries out in Christ. Man, there's a lot of Jesus mentioned here. Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence through faith in him. That is, our faith gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Christ Jesus. Okay, I want to stop there. But now, let's go back to this here. Glory to God. Still talking about speaking the word only. But I'm trying to show you the authority we have through Jesus. Now, let me read this in the New King James. It says, to me, I am least in the least. To me, who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, to make all see, or to get all to see and understand. Well, how does he do it? By praying that the eyes of the understanding is enlightened through chapter 1, right? To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, who is the living word of God, to the intent that now the manifold, wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Notice it didn't say by Jesus. It didn't say by God. It said by the church. By who and to who? The principalities and the powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through faith in him. So it is the church's job to make known to the devils the lordship of Jesus Christ. That I'm excited about all that because it's the church's job to make known to the devil God's will. I said all that to say that. So when you're speaking the word of God, you are making known his will in the earth. It is his will that you're holy, acceptable, and above reproach. No devil can stop that. It is his will for you to be holy and righteous. It is his will for you to be healed. It is his will for you to be prosperous. The only entities that's holding it up is demons and devils. And it is the church's job to do. You want to change the community? You need a throne dominion church that knows how to pray and deal with the strongholds of those spirits that's over that community. What happened to church as usual? That's the problem. You're being churched and you're not being discipled as kingdom citizens in the authority that you have in Jesus. And when you learn how to function in that authority, you'll see things, strongholds of the enemy crumble and fall down in your life. And you know, your entire family will begin to change. Your prosperity, your finances will change. Your marriage will come together. Families will come together. Communities will come together. When there's a mature church that stops living for themselves and start living for Christ and learn how to operate through his throne dominion by declaring what is written. It is the church's job to declare what is written. Man, I didn't know we were going there today. Praise God. Well, you know, Jesus taught that the words we carry, our words carry legal right. It's the church's job to speak the word. We're the body. We're his body in the earth. So his dominion and authority comes through the local church. So if a pastor will have no idea what they're doing, and a lot of them don't, that's a bold statement. I know it is. You've been educated in religious systems and you have no idea of the spiritual reality of things and how to function. Oh, all right, I'm done. I've said enough. By your words, I've said enough. Enough on this teaching. We're going to stop because I'm going further into things that the Father doesn't want me to go into at this season of our ministry. There's much more that I could say about this, but it's not our season to talk about that right now. All right. Well, that's all for now. We'll continue on Thursday. I'm going to start a new No, Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to start a new teaching. I said on Thursday, but next Sunday I have no idea. I just jumbled that all up. Basically, I'm going to start a new teaching talking about confession on Sunday. Confession, thanksgiving, and praise. The threefold release of faith. Alrighty? Enough. Father God, I thank you for this word. Thank you for this opportunity to share this to your people, Lord. For those that are mature and hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, I thank you that word is getting to them. And those people that it was planted as a seed, Father, I know that seed will grow at some point and they'll have understanding in all the things of you want them to learn and operate in your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Amen.